Imagine handing a contractor a messy shoebox full of crumpled receipts.
Sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, and you pull out this vaguely drawn napkin sketch of a house, you slide it across the table, and you just give the order to build a perfect mansion.
Just based on that.
Based on nothing else. And then, say, 6 months later, you show up at the job site. The walls are leaning, the plumbing runs backward, the stairs lead to nowhere. In that moment, the natural reaction is to look at the contractor and blame their intelligence.
Because the output is terrible.
Yeah, but if you manage a software engineering team today, this is the exact dynamic playing out with AI coding agents.
The contractor in that scenario, I mean, they were forced to guess. Every blank space on that napkin, every missing measurement, it had to be filled with an assumption.
Sure.
And an AI coding agent operates under the exact same mechanical constraints. Teams currently hand an agent a vague prompt. They point it at a massive undocumented code base, and they just hope for a flawless feature.
Which never happens.
Because an AI agent never stops execution to tap a product manager on the shoulder and ask for missing context. It just fills every single gap in its knowledge with a probabilistic guess.
And over time, those guesses drift. They drift further and further from the team's actual design and engineering intent.
Yeah.
So for our deep dive today, we gathered a stack of sources to figure out how to stop that drift. We've got engineering benchmarks, open standards from Anthropic and Google, massive pilot data from Indeed.
And the through line in all this research points to a fundamental misunderstanding of the problem.
People assume making an agent more reliable requires a smarter underlying model. But the actual solution is writing down what the agent needs in a form it can read.
Well, we need to examine a specific four-layer stack to understand this.
And we will look at this as one continuous chain from bottom to top. So we have tokens, machine-readable systems, spec-driven development, and runtime context standards.
Each layer exists to encode a human decision so the machine stops guessing.
Let's begin at the very bottom layer of the stack. Layer one represents the values.
The foundation here relies entirely on design tokens. Specifically, the source material points us to the design token's community group specification.
And we're looking at the Stable V2025 Bot 10 release.
Yeah, that release establishes a universal technology-agnostic methodology for scaling design decisions across an organization.
Looking at the format itself, though, it appears incredibly boring. I mean, inside a file ending in .tokens.json, you just find this standardized syntax.
Very basic.
Yeah, you have symbol fields named $value, $type, and $description.
Making the format boring is the entire goal. Historically, engineering and design teams lost countless hours debating JSON shapes and variable naming conventions.
So much time wasted.
When the format is standardized by a community group, the debate ends. A color value or a spacing step now means the exact same thing across all tools, all code bases, all production platforms.
Which gives us some really clear directional data showing the practical impact.
Teams are taking a full brand refresh.
Wait, like changing core colors, border radii, shadow depths.
Across an entire product suite, yeah. And they are collapsing the timeline. Work that required 6 to 8 weeks of manual coordination drops down to a single day.
That is a massive jump in speed.
Because the underlying values are updated in the central token file, and the changes propagate through token pull requests automatically.
Okay, I have to push back on the limitation of this foundation, though.
Go for it.
If tokens are so universally understood, agents should be able to build a perfect interface. But they still get the granular details of a component wrong.
They do.
An agent might nail the overall page layout, but completely invent the padding inside a specific button or, you know, choose the wrong background color for a warning banner.
Tokens only tell the agent what a value is. They offer zero context on what the value means or when to use it.
Got it.
You have established that a specific hex code exists in the design system. You have not established the business logic governing that hex code.
So without meaning, the agent still has to guess the application.
Yeah. Which brings us up the stack to layer two to solve that guessing.
Layer two is machine-readable systems. This is the meaning layer.
We are taking a static design library and turning it into an API the agent can directly query.
And we do this by introducing semantic roles and a model context protocol server.
Widely known as an MCP server.
Yeah. We are basically injecting structured metadata. The token file from layer one simply tells an agent a color exists.
While the semantic role tells the agent the purpose of that color within the broader system.
And then the MCP server acts as a bridge. It allows the AI model to query your local data and tools safely, surfacing those semantic roles exactly when the agent needs them.
It is the difference between handing an agent an unlabeled bucket of red paint versus handing them a labeled bucket.
We are trying to prevent the Crimson Trap.
Yeah.
You ensure the agent knows when a specific red token means danger for an error state versus when that same shade of red means brand identity for a primary marketing button.
Because if you leave the paint unlabeled, the agent just averages the internet to decide where the paint goes.
And you end up with warning banners painted in your brand colors.
We actually have concrete data on how to deliver this meaning efficiently. Diana Woloshin at Indeed ran a benchmark testing 1,056 prompts across various configurations.
She wanted to see how the AI handled component data, yeah.
And the results showed that structured JSON beat verbose markdown.
By a lot, yeah.
In terms of cost, definitely. JSON and configurations cost around $300 a year to run. Verbose markdown configurations cost around $1,500 a year due to token inefficiency.
Because when you feed an LLM verbose markdown for structural data, you are eating up the context window with conversational filler.
JSON strips out the filler and provides a rigid array of properties the model can parse instantly.
If you are managing an engineering budget, those numbers are compelling.
Very compelling.
But we should frame those benchmark and cost numbers as individual team results. They provide clear direction on efficiency, but we should view them as directional guidance rather than an absolute law for every engineering organization.
A massive enterprise will obviously see different baseline costs than a lean startup. But that structural efficiency matters. Though I must firmly ground this conversation regarding the limitations here.
Okay, lay it out.
Machine-readable data is necessary. It remains insufficient on its own.
Why?
The Indeed pilot program generated 4,300 prototypes in 4 months using their machine-readable system. But an audit of a sample from those 4,300 prototypes still uncovered broken spacing, typography violations, and an entirely invented color palette.
So human review and governance remain mandatory.
Structure raises the floor of agent performance. It prevents the agent from making the most basic structural errors, but it does not eliminate the need for human oversight.
So even with perfect machine-readable JSON definitions, Indeed still found their AI inventing color palettes.
Yeah, the building blocks are clearly not the issue. The instructions on how to put the building blocks together are broken.
Which means we arrive at layer three. This is stack-driven development, representing the intent layer.
Once the system has meaning, the development method itself must change.
The old mindset dictated that code is the source of truth. The new mindset dictates that the spec is the source of truth.
Code simply becomes a regenerable last-mile artifact.
That is a huge shift.
It is. The agent builds against a verified version-controlled contract. We formalize these requirements using EARS notation.
Which stands for the Easy Approach to Requirements Syntax.
Yeah, it forces requirements to be unambiguous using five specific patterns. You have ubiquitous, event-driven, and state-driven.
And the last two are unwanted behavior and optional patterns.
So the human's job shifts from writing syntax to verifying logic.
Take the unwanted behavior pattern in EARS. Instead of hoping the AI knows what to do when a user inputs a broken email address, the spec explicitly forces the developer to write the condition.
You write if the email lacks an at symbol, trigger the invalid state.
It removes the AI's ability to guess how an error should be handled.
Yeah.
But looking at Birgitta Buckler's maturity map for spec-driven development, I question the practicality of this in a daily workflow.
The spec-a-source concept.
Yeah, where a human only ever edits the spec and never touches the generated code. It sounds like an academic ideal that very few teams actually reach.
While maintaining specifications on existing, messy brownfield code takes heavy, ongoing effort. Legacy systems are filled with undocumented edge cases and temporary patches that became permanent.
Maintaining specs in that environment requires immense discipline.
The level of specification a team adopts should match the cost of the drift they're trying to prevent.
That makes sense.
AWS Kiro is turning 40-hour builds into 8 hours of human effort using spec-first workflows.
That is a wild reduction.
We view that as a directional outcome for teams adopting these practices, not guaranteed magic for every legacy code base. If a minor UI component drifts, the cost is low.
But if a payment processing flow drifts, the cost is catastrophic.
So the spec effort must scale with the risk.
Okay, so we have values, we have meaning, and we have a verified intent spec.
But a perfect spec is completely useless if the agent cannot access it at the exact moment it starts writing code.
Which brings us to the top of the stack. Layer 4 represents runtime context standards.
This is the delivery layer.
This layer hands the build rules, the portable skills, and the visual system to the agent at the exact moment it acts.
Three specific markdown standards govern this delivery. Agents.md carries the build rules and architectural intent.
And that standard was created by OpenAI, now stewarded by the Agentic AI Foundation under the Linux Foundation.
Then you have skill.md, which packages portable agent capabilities that travel across projects. Anthropic opened this as a standard in December 2025.
And finally, design.md encodes the visual system.
Google open sourced this standard from its established Stitch tool in April 2026.
Wait, I am a bit confused about this delivery mechanism.
How so?
We spent layer two establishing that JSON was five times cheaper and far more accurate for machine-readable systems.
It did.
So why are we suddenly relying on markdown files for these runtime rules at the very top of the stack?
We delineate the roles based on the type of data being processed. JSON serves as the rigid contract for structural component data.
Like props and exact pixel sizes.
Yeah, if you need to define those variants, JSON is the optimal format. Markdown serves as the common tongue for natural language rules.
Because large language models were trained heavily on markdown repositories from the open internet.
Reading architectural intent or visual identity rationale in markdown matches their foundational training.
Oh, I see.
This allows the model to parse overarching structural intent and nuanced instructions without complex serialization. You use JSON for the rigid math and markdown for the flexible philosophy.
So if we read this continuous chain from bottom to top to see the full picture, tokens are the value.
Machine-readable systems are the meaning.
Stack-driven development is the intent.
And runtime context standards are the delivery.
The teams pulling real leverage out of AI are not succeeding because they have access to the fanciest, smartest models.
They are succeeding because they built a governed system the agent can actually read.
It brings up a lingering question about this entire spec-driven workflow, though. If we are spending all this time writing flawless, perfectly logical specs, forcing requirements into EARS notation just so the AI doesn't have to guess, at what point does writing the spec become harder than just writing the code yourself?